I've talked to a lot of people, all ages and backgrounds, who've gotten lost. Life hasn't exactly turned out the way they expected and the way they planned. Some are angry and they're looking for somebody to blame. Sometimes they're just depressed and they've just kind of given up on life. Maybe you find yourself in that lost category today, trying to figure out, how did I get here? Last week we began this new series entitled, The Best Year Ever. Wouldn't it be something if 2017 was the best year you've ever experienced in your life, or one of the best years you've ever experienced in your life? Well, I can tell you that's not going to happen by chance or happenstance. It's going to have to be on purpose that we make it the best year of our lives. Brent introduced a concept last week. It's actually a concept from Andy Stanley that it's called the principle of the path. It's not rocket science. It's a pretty simple concept. The direction or the path of my life, not my intentions, will determine my destination. The direction of my life, not my intentions, will determine my destination every single time. The principle is not hard to understand in terms of travel or roads. You know that you can get on a winding road and you hope that it ends up in Miami, but if you're on I-75 North, it's not going to end in Miami. It's going to end somewhere cold and snowy and icy and not good, you know. We understand that about roads, but we have trouble making that connection of the dots of the principle of the path with other parts of our lives, our relationships, our finances, our marriages. There's a difference between laws and principles. You can break a law, but if you try to break a principle, it will break you. There's a lot of principles in the Bible. One that you're perhaps familiar with is the principle of the harvest. You know, we reap what we sow. It's an agricultural principle. If you plant corn, you're going to reap corn, not green beans. That's just kind of how it works. The principle is also true in friendships and finances, in relationships. What we put in directly affects what we receive. The key thing about principles is you can believe them or not believe them. It really doesn't matter. They're still going to be true in your life, and they're going to have a destination in your life. When it comes to principles, many people believe, I think that's true, but I'm the exception. You know? That's a true statement. You know, Pastor, I agree with what you're saying, but you need to understand, I'm different. I'm an exception. A couple years ago, I had a conversation with a medical doctor, and she has this wonderful dream. She wants to help kids that are having serious problems. She wants to start a home for them. And she has this great heart and great compassion, and she was sharing with me her financial plan. And she said this with a serious face. I'm going to buy $100 worth of lottery tickets every week. And when I win the lottery, I'm going to quit my practice and start this home for children. Now, this is a very intelligent woman. And I could have told her, you know that your chances of doing that are about like being hit by lightning twice. Or with the Powerball lottery, it's 272 million to one. Let me put that in perspective. If I had a giant hat here and put the name of everybody in the United States in that hat, and you stuck your hand in and pulled out your name, that's your odds of winning the Powerball. You know, it's crazy. And I could tell her that, and she would agree with me and say, that's true, but I'm the exception. I'm going to win it because I have a great cause, and God's going to help me. She takes that advertising, brilliant advertising, by the way. Somebody's going to win. It might as well be me, you know, or it might as well be you. She takes that literally. Now, the principle of the past says lottery tickets are not a good financial plan for your life. Somehow, we have a difficult time connecting the dots between the choices we make and the outcomes that we receive. Many of us have a propensity to choose paths that do not take us where we want to go. Now, I've always been directionally challenged. Don't talk to me north, south, east, west. Don't say, go two blocks and turn east. I don't know what you're talking about. You got to tell me right or left or turn at the gas station or, you know, I just don't get it. So when GPS came along, it was a godsend to me. You know, it was a wonderful thing that somebody invented GPS. But even though I can't get lost going around the block, sometimes that gal on GPS in her British accent says, now you're going to bear whichever way you're going to bear. And I go, that doesn't seem right. I think it's supposed to be left. Now, this is coming from somebody who can't find his way around a block, but I'm challenging her directions. It seems different to me. And a lot of people look at things and you say, well, I know that's true, but it seems to me. The Bible is our GPS. And the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the wise counsel of Christian friends, that's how God kind of directs our lives. And the Bible is very clear, we do not figure this thing out on our own. We'll take the wrong path and end up at the wrong destination. The prophet Jeremiah writes, Lord, I know that people's lives are not their own. It is not for them to direct their steps. Another translation puts it this way. It is not for man alone to direct his steps. Yet we still kind of think we can figure it out on our own. And if Jeremiah is not enough for you, listen to what Isaiah says. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you. God has what is best for you in mind. Who directs you in the way you should go. See, God never really intended for us to figure life out on our own because he knows we'll mess it up every time. Yet somehow we're convinced we can go the wrong direction and somehow end up at the right place. Direction, not intention, will determine your destination every time. Sometimes we wonder about our lifestyle. We wonder about some decisions that we're making. But then we convince ourselves, it's okay. Yeah, I know the Bible says that everyone's supposed to have sex after marriage, but it seems like everybody's having sex before marriage, so it must be okay. What's one drink? What's one hit? What's the big deal? Or my favorite, this one that we sometimes say a lot, somehow it's going to all work out. Really? You know, it's just we throw our lives against the wall. We throw our finances against the wall. We throw our marriage against the wall. And hopefully somehow it'll all come out okay. It'll all work out. When does that happen? I see it at funerals. Doesn't matter what kind of life you've lived. Everybody's going to heaven. Somehow it'll all work out. Nowhere do I find that in God's directional manual, his word. Then when we take a road and it takes us to its destination, we're surprised, shocked, disappointed, angry. Rob came to my office. He wanted to talk to me about his finances. This was 1982. I was a kid pastor. And Rob was making $120,000 a year in 1982. To put that in perspective, I was making less than $20,000 a year at the time. And those dollars today, Rob's $120,000 salary would be the equivalent of $301,000 and some change. You know, and he was in trouble. He was on the verge of bankruptcy. And I asked him, how can you be going bankrupt making that much money? Here's the principle of the path. If you spend more money than you make, it's not going to end well. It's not. He covered up with credit cards and lines of equity, but now he was in real trouble. But the almost humorous part is he gets real red-faced, and he kind of points his finger at me. He goes, Pastor, I tithe. I can't believe God's letting this happen to me. He's supposed to bless me. And I'm thinking, you're making $120,000 a year in 1982. Isn't that a blessing? You know? Somehow there's a disconnect between the road we're on and our destination. Somehow we believe the wrong road will take us to the right place because we're the exception. to the rule. Let me stop here for a moment and let you do a little introspection. Are there any disconnects in your life? Are there any discrepancies between your desire for your life and what you're actually doing with your life? Is there an alignment between your intentions and your direction? Remember, direction, not intention, determines your destination. Intentions really have very little consequence. Direction is everything. Perhaps the biggest disconnect that we make in failing to realize that each step is a direction. You know, we're walking along life and we take this little detour. I think I'll do this and it won't matter. It's just a small thing. But every small step we take in the right direction or the wrong direction is a direction. It's a path that we're following. It has a destination. It either brings us closer to the right destination or closer to the wrong destination. Those seemingly innocent steps are not random. They lead somewhere. They're a pathway. What do we do when we get on the wrong road? We're on the wrong path. All of a sudden we discover, this is not going to take me where I want to go. Well, it sounds like a simple question. You just turn around and go a different direction, right? But it's a little harder than that for many of us. You know, it's tough to make that decision. And it's not always easy. But there are some steps, some definite steps, if you're on the wrong road, that you have to take to get on the right road. And the first one is, we have to be brutally honest about where we are. We've got to tell ourselves the truth. If you've ever worked in a play or a drama, maybe as a kid or in high school or college, you know there's a front stage, a public stage, and there's a backstage. Now, the front stage looks kind of nice. It's got nice lighting, and it's usually clean and pristine and exciting. Backstage is usually trashed. It's a mess. Cramped quarters, stuff all over the place. I'll let you see this stage. I won't let you see our backstage. It's a mess, you know. And that's true for a lot of us. If you took a tour of our house, there are some rooms we'd be happy for you to see. Front stage, public. And then there's the garage. And maybe one bedroom and a few closets. They're definitely backstage, you know. The public part looks really good. That's not just true of stages or houses. It's true of our personal lives. We have a front stage and we have a backstage. I remember the phone call. It was 5:30 in the morning. My Uncle Larry called me and told me my father had died. I was devastated. I was 37 years old. You don't want to lose your dad at 37. But I couldn't leave immediately to go see my mom because I had a funeral at 10 o'clock that morning. Roy had died and his family was grieving. So I put on my public face and went to do this funeral. And they must have thought I really loved Roy because I cried a lot in that funeral. They didn't know what was going on in the backstage of my life. I know some of you come here on Sunday and you put on a public face and you smile. But I know the backstage events in some of your lives. Family problems, serious health problems, a family member that's struggling mentally, kids far away from Christ. There's a front stage and a backstage in all of our lives. But when we pretend that it's only front stage and we ignore the backstage, it takes us down a road we don't want to go. A few months ago, Matt Bays was here, and he was sharing about his book, Finding God in the Ruins. I've known Matt for many, many years. Incredible musician, publicly in front of thousands of people, an incredible worship leader. But for years, he ignored the backstage of his life, being abused as a child, brokenness, anger that led to alcoholism and emotional distress. And his life was a wreck until he got honest about, this is where I'm at and this is the road I'm on and it's not going to take me where I want to go. We tell ourselves a lie. Everything will work out. We fail to acknowledge that the road we're on has a destination and it may not be where we want to go. Our first step to get off the wrong road is to take a ruthless examination, assessment of where we are, to acknowledge that things are not just going to get better on their own. They won't. In Luke's gospel, there's a story of the prodigal son who asks his dad for money and leaves and blows all the money in crazy living. And he finds himself as a Jewish boy slopping the hogs, feeding the pigs. And he comes to a place in his life, and I love how it describes it in Luke. It says, when he came to his senses. It's kind of a telltale way of saying it. How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father. He came to his senses. I've got to change my path. This isn't going to work. The Bible has a word for it. It's called repent. It literally means to turn around, to change direction. I'm going this way. I must go this way. I must confess, I don't know the way. I'm lost. You can't be found until you acknowledge that you're lost. Not just your public life, but the part that people don't see. I seek help. I go to the Father. I tell Him the truth. This series is designed to be very specific about parts of our lives that perhaps we're on a wrong path. And we need to change our path. We're going to look at finances, and we're going to look at relationships and marriages and our spiritual walk. But let me quickly talk to you a moment this morning about a new path for our finances. It's the beginning of a new year, and tax season is coming here in a few months. If you've been traveling down a wrong path financially for a while, you've already created some problems. Maybe you've got 10 credit cards and they're all getting minimum payments. You know, I love the recommendation of Dave Ramsey where he has that plan where you pay off one card while you're making minimum payments on the others, and then you take that amount and place it on the next card plus the minimum payment until it causes a snowball effect until you pay them off. The key to that whole thing to make it work is you can't still be charging while you're trying to get through that. You put off purchases until you can pay cash. I call it the three-day rule. Before you buy it, you pray about it and say, do I have to have this? Is this really necessary in my life? Those seemingly innocent choices we make, like charging a latte at Starbucks, that has a destination. That has a direction. How many of you understand the power of compound interest? Albert Einstein said it's the most powerful force in the universe. The emperor of China was really excited that one of his people in his empire invented the game of chess. And so he calls him in and he's so excited. He goes, ask one request, anything you want. And he makes an interesting request. He goes, I would like to have 2 grains of sand on the first square of the chessboard. 4 on the next square of the chessboard, 16 on the next square of the chessboard. There's 64 squares on a chessboard. Now, was that a good request? Or should he have asked for 100 gold coins? Well, the king, the emperor thought, this is a deal. And so he accepts the grain thing. Well, what he didn't realize that when you do that, 2 to the 64th power is 18 million trillion grains of rice, which is enough to cover the surface of the earth. So basically, this clever inventor had demanded all the grain of China. Did he get it? No, he lost his head. But, you know, that's a different story. But the reality is, most of us, when we think of rice, we only think of Chipotle, and so it doesn't really, speak to us. But what if in 1950... your grandfather, that's assuming all of you are young, your grandfather decided that he was going to invest $1,000 in an index fund to track the market. And he did that, and just to make it round numbers, stopped that in 2015. He would have invested $65,000. Do you realize how much money he would have today? $1.83 million tracking the market. Compound interest has that same effect, not just in our financial lives, in all of our lives. In my 30s, I ran a marathon. Up to the point of running the marathon, I'd only run 4 miles a day. That was my longest run. But I got a 90-day program, and each week I would add mileage until I was able, at the end of that 90 days, to successfully complete 26.2-mile run. The process of compounding interest helps us both positively and negatively, depending on the direction that you're going. I recently made a credit card purchase, which I paid off at the end of the month. And now when you make credit card purchases, they send you in your bill, if you've noticed, if you make minimum payment, this is how long it will take you to pay off your purchase. And mine was going to take 14 years and 8 months to pay off, you know. The average credit card is 16% unless you go to places like Kohl's or Lowe's or Belk's. Then it's 25%. At 25%, your purchase is going to double every 2.9 years. That's why they give you those interest-free payments for a while, you know, because if you fail to make them, you'll buy it twice. I have a friend who is in the natural gas and oil business, and there was an executive in the company that received stock options, and his wealth grew to $78 million. And instead of cashing in, he decided that, you know, I'm going to see this company grow. Well, all the experts were saying that it's not going a good direction, but he knew they were wrong. So he refused to sell and doubled down, even bought more stock, and wrote it down until it was $1.5 million when he finally sold at that. So from 78 to 1.5, you know. Even though the evidence said the experts were right, he knew that he was the exception. He knew the answer. If you double down on the wrong road, it'll still take you to the destination where that road ends. I've known people who've gone bankrupt 3 times because they keep going down the same road over and over again, thinking this time it's going to be different. Direction determines destination every time. I discovered that when financial disaster happens, we start making excuses for that. I lost my job. The economy took a downturn. But economic disaster just speeds up the direction that you're going. Circumstances do not determine it. It's your direction that determines where you end up. I have a good friend that in his 40s lost a job, and it took him over a year to find a new job. And he was doing remarkably well. And I finally said, Jim, how are you doing this? I mean, you haven't worked for over a year. He said, well, my wife and I have always practiced for 20 years. We give 10% and we save 10% and we're fine. You know? Wow. The Bible lays out a very simple financial direction. It says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We often do it backwards. We seek all these things, and then if there's anything left, we give God a tip. The Old Testament teaches the principle of tithing, that our first 10% belongs to God. And you say, well, I don't believe in the Old Testament. I'm a New Testament guy. Well, in the New Testament, it talks about being generous givers. You can't be a tither or a generous giver if you go down the wrong road financially. You can't, you know. So when you find yourself in over your head, you're not able to do what the Bible teaches. I've actually practiced the first part of that formula, the giving 10%. Brent and I have practiced that throughout our ministry. I wish I'd practiced the 10% saving part a little better. But I rejoice that a significant part of our resources have gone into kingdom work. For us, it's first a spiritual decision that happens to be in the area of finances. God's formula is to put Him first in every area of our lives. That's where that compounding effect comes in. When direction determines destination every time, the longer you travel in a direction, the results increase either positively or negatively. For example, if you're a two-pack-a-day smoker for 20 years, that's not a good direction. But if you're a two-pack-a-day smoker and you quit after 3 years and get on a different road, your chances are much better. Doing the right thing every day over many years will have incredible results. I entered ministry at 19 years of age. Made less than $4,000 a year my first year in ministry. And Brent and I made a decision. We got married at 20, yeah, and made a decision that we were going to follow God's direction in terms of tithing. And I was surprised. Went back and went through. I keep all my old tax returns. I have no idea why. And I was kind of adding it up. And we've been able to give over $350,000 to God over the course of our ministry. I'm not saying that in a bragging way. I'm just saying that I was amazed by that. Didn't even realize that. And I thought, you know, well, would it be nice to have that much money? Yeah, but think of all the lives that have been changed over the course of those years. And I rejoice in that. Doing the right thing brings incredible results when we do it God's way. Doing the wrong thing over many years also has huge costs. But in God's grace, if we walk down the wrong path for a long time, His grace gives us a new walk and a new chance. We can change directions. We can take a new road, and we can have a different destination. There are two major parts of compounding interest. One is the rate of return, but far more important than the rate of return is when you start. The earlier we start down the right path, the richer our lives become, not just financially, but in every part of our life. In the prodigal son story in Luke, think about it. If that guy had waited 10 years before he left the pigsty to go home to his dad, he could have still gone home to his dad, but just think of what he would have missed and how much he would have missed. I think about two young moms I know. They're both addicted to drugs. It's cost them their family, their finances, their health. I met one a little over a year ago, and she told me she wanted to get out. She wanted to change. And I set her up to get into a treatment center. And at the last moment, she decided, well, I'm not quite ready. I'm gonna stay for a little while longer. My last words to her, if you do not change direction, you will not live to see 30. You see, the path she's on does not have a happy ending. It does not have a happy ending. We think we're the exception to the rule, but if you're going down the wrong path, don't stay on that path because the destination is not good. It's never easy to change the direction of our lives, whether it's finances or family or marriage. It's easier to keep walking down the same path and doing it the same way, even though we know it's going to have a bad ending. Some of you today are heading down a bad path financially. You know it's not going to end well. You're living beyond your means. Maybe you're taking some small steps and you're not connecting the dots, that those steps are a direction in your life that have a destination. God is always seeking us. But the earlier that we seek Him, the earlier we come to Him, the longer we take the right steps, and they have the possibility of compounding results for the kingdom. The good news is you don't have to rely on your wisdom or even the wisdom of others. God offers you help to find His right path for your life. Sidney and Jean Johnson were missionaries for many years. When they retired, they came back to the United States, and some of the people in Asia and places where Sidney had served began to call him and say, you know, can you do anything to help our kids? Well, Sidney was retired. But he and Jean began a program called Children of Promise. where individuals support a child in various countries. Many of you support a child in this congregation. It's literally changed thousands of kids' lives for eternity. That's compounding interest. He served as a missionary for years, but God used the last part of his life to touch thousands of more lives. The steps are simple. Admit where you are. Take an honest, ruthless assessment of the road that you're on. If you're lost, if you need help, if the backstage of your life is not very good, bring it to him. He already knows. Confess it to him. And God will change the direction of your life and put you on a new path. And it will change everything. Why would you wait? Why stay with the pigs when you can walk with the Savior? Let him change your life today. Would you pray with me?